This is Jan Cox, talk number 16, recorded on April 1st, 1982.
You have the slightest urge in whether it's long, short, or it seems to have anything to do with what we're talking about. But the urge to write down some observations, some idea, a little story, whatever it comes to, I continue to encourage you for very specific reasons that you should do it. Give it to me, whether it's ever read here or whatever happens to it. I want to be sure that on your own, if I haven't made it clear enough, that you can see some of the connection between my good old time-honored and used cross and all that it represented in the ways in which I was attempting to describe the nature of man, the nature of the general human condition, all the ways in which I used that of the horizontal line, horizontal life, the little vertical line, which if you think back now was very seldom discussed, simply that that was where a man's level of consciousness, of he particularly, individually, would seem to be. That on the horizontal line seemed to reside all of that that man normally thinks of as being time, way back on the right hand end. Apparently that man being suddenly here, some kind of living individual that seemed to carry along, that seemed to still exist to ordinary people, they seemed to be tied to it. I've attempted to point your attention in the direction of why it is necessary. A feeling of continuity. My people are attracted to that which seems to have some age to it. But now, is it clearly aware that it runs in another direction? That to begin to be able to see it without continuing lateral connections, that it all must fit to something that is ordinarily available to the mind. In a sense, you've got to turn the cross in another direction. Because to begin to see above the ordinary line of eyesight, the past of man is not down here. That line exists, but that line is the horizontal, it is mechanical, common level of consciousness. It is as far as the general, we can speak about one particular time and place, we can speak here about 1982 America, we can talk about the whole world on another level. That line exists, but the history of man is not down there. If you're going to begin to see the history of man, it's right down there. That is why to use one for instance, that no one can find. Where the hell did Jesus get all these stories? Where did he learn what he learned? If you take away the possibility that he was a piece of the sky god, or the Buddhas. There has been much written, and people have made small-time reputations, as far as I can tell, off attempting to write. Where was Jesus's lost years? Did he study with some group over here in Syria? Did he run off to Egypt learning great secrets? They can't find where he got it by looking out here, because that's not where he got it. There was nobody to teach him. He did not have an equal. There was no information. All that was available out here, he already understood. The astounding information that now, after the fact, with the Buddhas and Muhammad and Moses, no matter if they had any part of it in their lifetime, but now the way it is taken, of course, is that in some way it was supernatural, that it was an absolute gift, or they were a piece of the sky gods, non-mortals. And even if you try to discount that and you're an ordinary person attempting to be more liberal, there is nowhere that you can find that who taught Jesus Who told Buddha all this? Because they don't know where to look. If they knew where to look, in a sense, the Jesuses would not, they can, as somebody's tried to figure out, travel no more than 20 or 30 miles from there where they were born. Because in one sense, somebody like that could stay home and periodically walk out the door, and if he doesn't want to talk to anybody, it's this astounding information for those that want to hear it. And what are they left with? Now, the gods are coming to you. That is the most efficient answer. And many of them, once they reach a certain point, if they were still alive, do, either passively or in their own way, put up with that or encourage it. They're like, yeah, on the basis of, well, there's nothing else to tell you. But the history of man is written right there. And by now, some of you should be able to do a little bit beyond just lateral, ordinary connections between horizontal psychology and history and such as that. To see that the history of man has not been, in a sense, some lateral process, some horizontal process of the game. That's why I kept even more words, trying to give you descriptions like it changes, it expands, and if you can't get caught up into it, progresses. And sometimes I would say, although from a horizontal viewpoint, it apparently does progress. Now people live longer, people eat better, people are more educated, etc. But it's not a question of some lateral progress down a horizontal line like a choo-choo train. The history of man is a progression up here. And the history of man, once you learn, if you can get above here and look down, as I said, then you can stay home. Then you can look down, and the history of man is a continuum, a non-ending development of the nervous system from what Magnus, I referred to as, even though I said it was allegorical, a caveman. That is, a physical man whose primary function is the relaying of energy down here. That if I was still, had to cut it up into like the life of the body and the emotions and the mind, which I stress to you more than ever, is true and is irrelevant. It's true to try and see something, but once you see it, you understand what that is. There's no such thing as that description. I could almost give it to you if any of you could get together and build the great machine that the wheels would turn within each other. Or if you could build me something that would float with that plastic ball, and inside was a smaller one, and a smaller one, and a smaller one. And none of them touched, and they would all rotate in all directions. But when you got to the smallest one, it also held the big one. And I'm not being funny. That is possible. It's possible here. I can see it. But if you can see it, then you understand the description such as, well, they're a physical man, the life of humanity, your development, went through a stage that I was nothing but just a walking body. And then I developed another stage where I began the social type education and developed these so-called emotions, and I got into the mind. And that's good enough to talk about. And it's not that it's untrue, but that's no more than getting to the final ball in there. And you've got to find out that the whole thing is also contained in that center ball, which of course, down here, laterally, all you can do is laugh. All you can do is say, well, that is so complex that I don't understand it. Nobody could. It's literally impossible, and it's not. That's the same way of beginning to see, and I could take the development of the nervous system. Instead of the balls, I could make it into, we can make this symbol out of plexiglass, and do the spine, the main trunk. And I could say, well, that was the development of the physical life. And inside of that was the development then of the emotional life and then the intellectual life. Except then it's all got to be within the smallest one, all over again. But it has been a history, and it's in you. And I might also point out that some of you, I think in the past, read enough would-be mystical things that there has been throughout history. a continuing belief. It's just a variation of the secret book syndrome. But there are several others that there's some kind of history of man that's kept by the Great White Brotherhood in Tibet. There's some kind of records of the history of man that God has written in the ether somewhere in the cosmos. And if you know, join up with this group and go through the course, in some way you can plug yourself into it. Like God's computer, and somebody can do it, and they call it, you know, spiritually. But like everything, there's a basis of reality. The basis is the history of man is right there. Not on this diagram. I'm using that diagram to represent you. The history of everything. But it's not back there in the past. And things are not going in this direction, or that direction, or that direction. They are expanding to bring it to a two-dimensional level, or a three-dimensional. It is the progression, the continuing progression of the nervous system into higher and higher areas that we now usually call the mind. It is right before you, it's everywhere, it comes out without ordinary people knowing it, and their comments about the political and economic, even the religious situations in the world. But that development goes on. It is a continuing process. I want you to try and consider this. There are times when I have made descriptions of drawing the line, such as turning man into, forgetting the emotions of the time being, into a physical, biological, I should say physiological creature. At a certain point, which doesn't exist. You know, on here somewhere, other than it does exist, I just can't tell you where it is. I know, because it's everywhere. But there is a line below which would be the physiological drive of humanity, and above it, what you call the psychological. I'm not really changing anything. For a while I was saying biological, I should say physiological. And although it is a gradual process, and although everyone, at least we'll say of you people here, and everyone has it to varying degrees out in life, but it has to be in a certain kind of known chaotic order for anyone to get anywhere with the work, that everyone has to have a, what I used to call, a sane relationship with the body. Some of you should have some idea of that now, way beyond words. The idea that a man can smoke dope, be a drunk, even eat certain kinds of foods, mistreat himself, get no exercise. The idea that he can still awaken, which if you notice in life, it's even beyond the idea that he can. It oftentimes passes, very often throughout the world, that in some way has something to do with awakening. Of mistreating the body, or at least not treating it right. Just being the old hermit, or the yoga, standing there in one position until his arm atrophies. There has to be a certain sane connection. And this physiological side, a lot of it was determined before anybody was born. But there has to be that. And if you will now follow what I'm saying, that there is a line that we can say exists, and it does for the sake of you attempting to see it. That there is a general life, physiological life of humanity, and part of this planet that moves, that expands. And in a sense, there is limits to this, but there it is a reasonable way to present it if you just stop considering it. In a sense, it is that commonness between us and creatures whose nervous system is finalized when they're born. That is, that you do have something in common with all the animals. And that would be the physiological level of being here and being alive. The psychological level exists because men are the only creatures that are not totally finished. The process of change is always occurring. So this line exists for the sake of us talking about it. I consider this, that I can reasonably put in words and tell you that the first purpose, the initial purpose of what seems to be a man's personality, was like a bridge. It was like a link pin of it going from just here, that is, to where nothing can be done. Remember, we're back to the old thing, you can lose weight, you can get a nose job. But as even Jesus pointed out, you can't grow hair on your head without the help of a doctor and transplants. You can't put another inch on your body. It is simply that the line, the physiological part from the line down, beyond the things around such as dyeing your hair and bobbing your nose, there is nothing, in a sense, to be done. Although it is tied to everything else, remember, as why it's true and untrue. But in a sense, there is nothing to be done. The man must establish some kind if he has the potential to start with, and he has the hunger to awaken. He has to have established, if necessary for him, a certain sanity, a certain center of gravity with the body that he can almost leave the body alone. Just let it go ahead, and it's not necessary that a man then have to live by rules that you must run 30 minutes each and every day. Somebody might need to, somebody might want to, somebody might realize I don't want to, and therefore I will. But it's getting the body to the point that that is not the problem, because you cannot wake up down here. What you've got to do is be able to get as much energy up here, among other things. But that is why a man must be able to establish some kind of continuing sanity, to where he can almost, as far as the mind is concerned, is quit fooling with the body. You don't have to sit around and read, and what's the latest diet, or who says, you know, now if you eat whole wheat bread, you'll get cancer of the liver. Just ignore it. There's nothing to be said. But if a man has some kind of sanity, there's nothing else to read about. There's no new kind of exercises. There is no ambrosia. There is no kind of hidden yoga positions that somebody's been hiding that would the man put himself in it, he would awaken. People dream of such things. But down here, there's no question of awakening. You're on the wrong end. You can't develop it down this way. It's going in the other direction. But I want you to consider some of the ways this comes out, that personality, if I was, at least for the sake of this evening, plotting a history of man, the personality, if I had to draw the chart, put unknown date in everybody, unknown date in history of man, personality appears, colon, or column, drawn, purpose thereof. Mm-hmm. Everything has a purpose that's serving here to relay energy. The purpose was to make this leap, to bridge this kind of gap between a closed, already developed, physiological side of man, and that which is not closed, even though it does not amount to anything in ordinary man's life, it is not closed, hence the frustration, hence the continuing seeking of something new, which the body does not do. All of you should be aware of that, by the way, for now, if I haven't pointed out. It's not the body that sits there and reads a brand new book of Haiv. It's the new 10-day health exercise from the Armenian Air Force. Your body... If the body was operating in such a way, your body would never read anything about menus, it would never read anything about diets, it would never read anything about exercise. That's all up here. That's all the mind telling the body that. But it was a bridge, the original purpose, which is still in effect. But then I want you to consider some of the things that at times I know. I would just throw them out as small little firecrackers, but I know that some of you it used to really get to. But now I want you to try to see some of this, because it's not still an attack on humanity in any way. But a part of what personality was up to was to take the kinds of things that were down in the story, the physiological side of it, and they had to be translated. It had to be brought into the mind's awareness, and it's some of the things that we can sit around and at times you may have thought that we have laughed at, or that you have laughed at. But in some way, well, this is foolish, or even ordinary men should see beyond this. And I want you to try to see that there is nothing in the world foolish except being here. To sit around and have specific laughs, we're still dealing with the lateral level. You know, if we're sitting here, or we're sitting out all this ranking coffee or something, we continue to just pile joke upon joke. It's still dealing primarily with the lateral level and just keeping it just at the edge, or this almost is not funny. But even down here, that which appears to be the folly of man is not the folly of man. And so I want you to consider some of the things I've pointed out. For someone attempting to awaken, for instance, I can say absolutely, as Jesus said, that a man awakening has no home. It's not the way he called the Son of Man or the Son of God. He'll know where to lay his head. I'm sure that ministers have just drawn tears from audiences about how terrible it is for us to be the, you know, the Snellville view of possible Church of God in Christ, and we're being tormented and they won't give us credit down the street and we're in a tar paper shack. But remember, you know, Jesus said that's the way it'd be. It is, for instance, such things, I was getting around to that point out, that a man awakening, you know, he's not patriotic. He doesn't love where he lives. He does not, quote, love his family and his children the way he appears to. All right. Now, it is not that a man is not patriotic in some real sense. There is a, as part of the adhesiveness that I have described, that to go back to the playing field of different races, religions, there is a herd drive, just to use ordinary, some kind of terminology. And it is a part of what I've also described as people wanting a feeling of continuity. When I was using the cross itself, and I would say the feeling that ordinary men have, and everyone has it. I'm saying ordinary men, we're still talking about you down here. It's down there. It is important who my parents were, or to keep photographs of my grandparents. When my great-great-grandparents came from the old country, some feeling that I am stable. There is some connection. I am not just dropped in here like a BB in the midst of caviar. You know, I am somebody somewhere. I may be poor and kind of ugly, but I've got family around. I work there for General Motors. I've been there. I know they won't fire me. I've got seniority, and I belong to the Masons. But that, what I want you to consider, it comes from down here. The kinds of things of people saying, well, my life may not have amounted to much. Let me remind you, I'm not going for some kind of ordinary laugh. But for a man, can appear to be quite intelligent, somebody, and so my life may not have amounted to much. I didn't achieve all I meant to as a child. But I know one thing that all right-thinking people must do. There's no doubt about this. We have got to leave this planet. We've got to leave a life here some way. Better for our children. Now, there is nobody under ordinary civilized circumstances is going to stand up to that and say, ah, hogwash. Unless we had some absolute smart aleck. But understand what I mean. Nobody will stand up and say hogwash. They cannot, because it is not hogwash. But what I am telling you is where it seems to reside, it's been fed from down here. And part of the purpose of personality was to take that kind of thing and to bring it into the mind's awareness to help things keep growing. And it turns into, well, at least when I die, I will die happy. Because God knows I didn't achieve everything, and I guess I made mistakes and I hurt some people along the way. But when I die, at least I'm going to be able to leave a few things to my children. Not just the property and the money. I've tried to, you know, show them to be patriotic and to love the church and to try to do right by their fellow man. All right. Now back to the real symbol. Up here, that's hogwash. Not good or bad. It simply does not exist. It is irrelevant. up here can see down here and sees where it came from. And it's not that a man would not love his children. But the story, as it comes out of here, that I have lived my life consciously, willfully, continually thinking about I'm trying to leave something better for my children is a lie. It's a real lie down here. But from here, it is an illusion. But back in the real world, it is a real illusion. Therefore, it is reality. But it does not exist in the nervous system up here. And that was part of personality's initial job. Into patriotism. And it all exists, though, down in here, in the silent region. It is in the physiological aspect of man. All the way from a feeling of, I'm going to defend the tribe here, my little village, to, listen, you know, sir, you can't talk to about the falcons like that in front of me. And it can sound like a cheap joke. Like, well, what kind of idiot would get in a fight? Now, I've used it enough. Be standing around and suddenly two guys are fighting over how the falcons may do. And you go, pfft. But the reality of that exists down here. And it's the same kind of reality as a man saying, at least I have left a better life for my children. It comes out translated into such things all the way from, I would die for my country, to I'd punch somebody in the nose. They'll try to talk about the owner of the Braves that way. To, I try to be broad-minded about everything, but I'll tell you one thing, sir. You cannot speak about my church that way. The whole spectrum that seems to come out of here, and one of the reasons that all these years that I could sit here when we were talking and use it, and you would laugh, even after I continually reminded you, and then after you were around me enough to find out that I wasn't lying when I put in words, when I kept saying, we're not laughing at somebody. I'm not laughing at the Pope. I'm not laughing at this group. And I would continue to do it, and know that would make you go, ha, ha, ha. And it's not that it was wrong. It is real. But it is not what the ordinary resort lives below the line. It is not where that end of the nervous system exists. It is not it pristinely talking. It is not the so-called mind or personality of any man saying on its own that at least I have lived my life and made a better world for my children. To Zork, that's nonsense. Not that he analyzes it, because he's a spokesman for it. But if I could cut suddenly Zork loose from the lower part of the nervous system, and we can isolate Zork and turn him loose, which can't be done, but if I could do that, are you listening? If I could cut him loose and ask Zork about patriotism, love of family, I hate to suggest what Zork would be. He would not be any of those things. Because the inspiration for it, the reality of it, is down here in a silent region. It has no words. It is necessary. If it were not necessary, it would still not be going on. I think I'll leave it. But consider, I'll repeat, sure, I'll use enough examples, that those, the personality, I could say, putting it in a numerical sequence, its first job, when it first arose, was a moving of this kind of silent information that was necessary on that level just to keep humanity here and alive. And as the nervous system began to grow and it began to talk, that the first purpose that you can see, or I'm saying you look in that direction, you see it for yourself, and of course you ignore all this as you find out, because if you see it, that's it. But the first purpose was to take this kind of information, this kind of tribal and instinct of herds of people being together, there being connections, safety. I can call it all kinds of things. Once you see it, you see it. But it is the social aspect of humanity. Somewhere in all those words, you've got to hear what I'm saying, because it's in you. And once the nervous system began to grow, this had to be brought into the awareness up here. And it began to talk about it. part of the relaying of energy was, they began to describe, but it is no longer the pristine feelings of the physiological story. And so it comes out of, I would die for my country. Now, this part of you that's still listening, that strikes everybody somewhere, whether you believe you'd die for your country or not. And something down in here, unless you're struggling up here, can begin to tremble the same way when it sounds like that I'm just missing the whole idea of God. There's the parts down in here continue to tremble. You know, you won't stick with me. You think, well, thus far, you know, I wouldn't have found out this anywhere else. But there is something that can still get a little tremble down there. It's there. But the way it comes out up here, that apparently is something that is intelligent, that is the idea of patriotism, something that is reasonable, something that each person in some way has defined for themselves, that they have considered, they have thought about, and now are prepared to say, yes, I would die for my country. If you could cut Zork loose from down there, and you asked Zork, would he die for his country? Zork could tell you, listen, I don't live nowhere. I don't even have a passport. I don't even know what you're talking about. And this has got nothing to do with me other than, you know, can I make some money out of it? Would it help me? In some way be to my advantage? There would be no patriotism up here in that end of the nervous system if I could cut it like I'm saying, which I can't. But much of that which seems to be holy, which seems to be irrefutable, and will cause, literally, I'm aware of it, will cause little trembles for me to sound like I'm just dismissing the whole idea of God, or that patriotism is a laugh. There's something that goes, and it's true, when it trembles and says it's not true. Because if we were suddenly attacked by another country, I'm not saying I wouldn't go out and fight. It's on the basis of staying alive. Not for what ends up in the so-called personality of ordinary men, not for some ideal. Because down here, all ideals are the same. I'm familiar with all of them. One's as good as another. And if everybody marched down, we were having to fight the Peruvians or somebody, and everybody's singing patriotic songs, and, you know, I'd probably go along with it. But I'd be there to save my own ass. Down here, literally. Not for some ideal. But what I'm pointing out to you is that although it appears to be that way, if you live at this level and you watch TV, you read the newspapers, you're just simply captured by the history of man right inside of you, then apparently there is something serious going on, such as the struggle between the East and the West. The free democratic systems and these totalitarian systems. And everybody, you have got that piece of Zork, it was formed before you ever saw me, they can sit and listen to some of that and hear the Russians or somebody rant about this and that. And there's a piece of Zork that you don't say, well, fuck you. We would just bomb you people off the planet and we'd be a lot better off. And it seems to be on the basis of some theory. That is, something operating at the higher end of the nervous system. It seems to be your personality, yours and other people, the president's personality, Brezhnev's personality. Them saying, we don't approve of the way the capitalistic system keeps people of minority races and religions in a lower position. And let's just say that you were well-read enough laterally to say hogwash. You know, I've just been reading an article that, in fact, the Russians are some of the most prejudicial in their political system of anywhere in the country. And they think I don't know it. I just read that last week in Time magazine. You know, it's terrible. How can people live and your mind, Zork, can begin to run through what appears to be quite intelligent discussions about the ideal, the idea, the theory, the theoretical conflict in this higher world, for this one instance, between American democracy and Russian totalitarianism. There is a reality to the tension, but it's not up here in some theoretical idea. And if it goes to war, it's not over some theoretical idea. If everybody goes to war, that means that there was a new kind of energy, but it's not new, it keeps popping up, it had to be transferred. And everybody goes off singing, waving flags. Just like a fresh supply of blood being sent somewhere where this big body is cut. And you're just some of the cells, and you're carried along, and they're hollering, hip, hip, hooray. We're going there for some great purpose. And maybe you'll be in there to cover over and grow new scar tissue on somebody else. There is nothing in the horizontal world, there is nothing out there that is funny, other than the fact of being funny, of course. There is nothing amiss, as I told you in the beginning. People are not deluded. There is no conflict up here going on that end. Since I threatened not to go any further of what I wanted you in general to try and start considering from above eye level, is the fact that much of that which passes is just common currency that no one will refute. Not that it's a part of the greater reality of ordinary humanity. We're not talking about the crazy people, as they call them. But the kinds of common currency in ideas and beliefs, such as there is a God, such as a man should live for his children, such as a man should be patriotic. Anybody that's not patriotic, not only for his country, but even his state, his hometown, a man who would not defend his own religion. All the things that somewhere in you, down here now, somewhere in you, all that strikes a positive note. But yes, it's true. That it gives a tingle. But the tingle is not what those words were. The tingle is something else. The tingle is down below the psychological level. That is where it is fed from. And part of personality's job is to let it come out in another way, to transfer it into words, to bring it into the awareness of the nervous system as it keeps growing. And it appears to be one thing, and it's not. Of course, if it appears to be one thing and you don't know it's just appearances, then it is. Since, I guess we'll start fooling with some of these public people. I have left California set the dates. What were they? That's the first Bay Area meeting. I want you to try to consider now one other thing. This line is absolute. It exists. And rather than talking about people being awake, people being more awake, I could simplify it as far as words and simply say that there are those who know and everybody else. But, as may strike very well, of course I know it will, I'm just making a figure of speech, it may very well strike some of you if you get somewhere near the line. But the world is full at all given times of people who say that they know. And there's all my examples of all the gurus, the Pope, and everybody else. And none of them do. I was going to give you another fine example of justice. The would-be New Age, all these Gurdjieff, Sufi, and other kinds of groups. There's a certain type of nerve ending on this larger spine that comes out, apparently, as a person. A particular personality type. It shouldn't be a great secret that those are the ones that are attracted to a specific kind that end up over here somewhere, standing up, with hair on top of it, arms and legs, and they become preachers, they become gurus, they become would-be holy men, they become spiritual teachers, New Age guys, all whatever the term is. I have said it in other ways, but I'm saying you directly again, that none of these people you ever heard of, none of them know know, down here in Zorb, there were people that, without any doubt, surely, without any doubt, most of you were impressed with somewhere before you saw me, and there's somewhere in Zorb that you may have read something recently. That's the man I thought, boy, I'd like to meet him. He says, well, maybe he talks a lot like Jan does, or maybe he knows something. And nobody you ever heard of, alive, knows. And the justice I was going to point out is that type of person. Also note, though, there is a certain, you should know this always from watching evangelists on TV, to what are these other would-be New Age teachers, there is a certain intensity to them. I'm using now horizontal terminology, a certain intensity to them, a certain apparent urgency and importance to what they have to say, that is their teaching. Everybody should know that. And here I am threatening to go out, and I just want to point out some more justice, that they don't know, and I know. And for me to appear to be intense and serious about it, I have to fake it. Whereas, all you've got to, if those who appear to be, and oftentimes, you also, all of you know the word charisma, that these people, if they're in the right circumstance, seem to be able to draw suddenly these followers. It's just everything being just, of course, but there is an intensity to it, an urgency to the message. And of course it is, to use our past terminology, it is a man simply identified. And that is what causes a sense of urgency. A carpenter can have it. An attorney, physician. But anybody that's playing that kind of public role, all the way from entertainers to politicians, when I was using would-be spiritual people, that you're there and apparently attempting to stand up in some crowd, whether it be locally or nationally, or worldwide, to say, I am somebody, I know something you need to know. It's all a touch of show business. But there has to be, and there is, when they become, they prove to be successful, a certain apparent, very intensity, and they're identified with it because they don't know what they're doing. I just thought some of you would enjoy continuing ideas of justice. If you don't know, and you're just identified, you can carry right on. Or vice versa, if you can see good. But otherwise, you have to fake it. I'm not going to add a specific another word or idea to your Superman pledge. Remember, it's a fact. I was saying pledge your prayer just to be sociable about it. But I do want to point out something without putting a specific word and adding one this week. It still has to do with the fact that if a man is not satisfied to live down here, if I now say that all of you collectively, regardless of the fact of what you can still end up doing individually, but that all of you collectively meet the requirement of somebody not satisfied, by and large, over a satisfactory continuum of real time, day in and day out, that all of you collectively amount to somebody suitable to deal with that's absolutely not satisfied with this. And that collectively, you all, there's no word for this, because of course it's short of no, but it's an irrefutable objective suspicion, at least collectively all you know, that all this does exist, and all this has not been denied. It's not just all terminology, it's not just all playing, and it's not all that you were in some way a psychological wreck when you came here, and I'm in some way straightening your fenders out. But there's something else, and it's been up there, but I didn't know what it was because, in a sense, it didn't exist. But part of the Superman pledge, without just a specific word for the time being, is you have got to see clearly that you've got no right to suffer. Although down here, it is still engaged in suffering, because this part is never finished. And to begin to be able to be conscious here, it's not just a matter of shutting that off, you have to find it for yourself. I've many times made little passing points of it. I would say it comes like background noise or radio playing out there. That sounds good. That's a fair description. But it is not simply a matter that you have straightened out this. You cannot go back in some objective way and straighten out the history of humanity. You cannot go back and straighten out in some way your genes. You can't go back and straighten out your mother and father's genes. So the nature of this, as I've attempted through all this time, is suffering, frustration. That's what brought you here. Well, I want to know something. But for a man who is now attempting to awaken, I'm treating all of you on that basis, that real basis. That's just simply the way I'm now dealing with you. You have no right to suffer. There is no such right. It's been taken away. Your card's been shredded. But a part of the way it continues to run, that's what I want to tell you, as all of you, if you hadn't caught on to this, and we've been over it another week, but I want to tell you specifically, is don't let yourself talk to other people, much less yourself. Just do not put your hands on the words. It can be going on down here just as mechanically as you breathing, just as mechanically as you having the daydreams about, will I ever get the farm paid off? When am I going to get the car fixed? While the daydreams are, just some seem worse than the other, but the kind specifically that I am forbidding you, I'm telling you, you've got no right to do it and stop it, is any kind of talk, even to yourself, of your health, your age, and death. Just don't even discuss it. I carried on the joke for a while, but I caught most of you with knees popping and squatting. But now stop it. You ought to be able to see some of the kind of humor in it. It's everywhere. You know, so it's not arthritis now, if it's not your arm getting sore. Suddenly, men and women, if you're down horizontally, if you're just now an ordinary person, the years vary a little bit, but you'll hit a time and suddenly you'll find Zork wanting to, and he can even tell you, well, it's not really complaining, but I'm just making objective observations. Getting sore, suddenly, men and women, if you're down horizontally, if you're just now an ordinary person, the years vary a little bit, but you'll hit a time and suddenly you'll find Zork wanting to, and he can even tell you, well, it's not really complaining, but I'm just making objective observations. The damn, some mornings I get up and my hands are, but my hair is getting, god damn, it's getting thinner just in the last few months, or I don't know. I just can't stay up like I used to. I gotta have more sleep. That is no business of that. It may be true. You may be getting what they call arthritis. You may be getting stiffer. That's the business of this. And unless you find some magic trick to make your hair grow back or make your fingers, you find something profitable to do. Other than that, do not talk about it. There is nothing to discuss. It's none of his goddamn business. Because all he'll do is make it worse, about to point out the obvious, because he can't do anything, and you're just back to a mechanical flow of suffering. It's just a new one. Oh, God, I feel so tired. I think pretty soon I will have to get some glasses.
Oh.
You got to stop that. You got no right to do it. Objectively, in some way, it may be occurring. But I told everybody from the beginning I could not promise that you would not die. But you have no right to deal in that kind of even verbal, internally, currency, to even discuss your age, to mention I'm getting older, I'm getting tireder. Don't even talk to yourself. Don't let it come out in jokes. If somebody else says, boy, I guess age is not hitting me. I'm about 35. Hey, aren't you about my age? You know what I'm talking about? All these kind of aches and sores. Say, hey, you want a Coke? Do not deal with that. You got no right to do it. That's the common kind of currency that everybody else is going to deal with, but you have no right any longer. If you're out trying to deal in that anymore, I'm telling you, I punched your card. It has been revoked, and you're out there faking it. And that takes an even worse price eventually. So don't even fake it. Just forget about it. You're going to die, so what? It is no business of theirs. Because this does not preclude. Now, I say a man attempting to awaken has no right to suffer. If a man was out and he was taking heroin, or he was a drunk, or he was smoking so many cigarettes that he developed continuing migraine headaches, if he was doing something that he knew was hurting this, it's also that a man has no right to do that. And he has got to be aware enough, but now he can't say, well, I've got some psychological problem in my childhood. It keeps making me smoke. It makes me nervous, and I smoke all the time. And he figures out, or some doctor says, well, the only thing I can figure if you're getting these continual headaches is how much do you smoke? You know, 12 packs a day. Cut down. Well, I would, or all right, I'll try. And then to take some story that I am so nervous because my mother was so high strung when I was a child, and she was always running around the house and doing this and making me nervous. And it's something you picked up somewhere in the Reader's Digest or Psychology Today that that's why I smoke. You know, you can't operate on that basis anymore. Those kind of stories down there are true. Down to those people, those kind of things are true. But it's not. Because you don't have the right to suffer anymore. And if you are doing something specifically that's causing you to suffer, by me saying you don't have the right, you don't have the right to live in some dream that I can't stop this. You know, I do this because you don't know how. My father used to beat me when I was a kid. You know, that doesn't matter. You stop doing that. I want everyone to remember Paul's father's being operated on this tomorrow.
Yes.
He's having his leg further amputated. And remember Phyllis, her mother died. She indirectly got in touch with some of us. Remember her. Nobody remembers Sam and Noxie, just because I say so. And at the slightest urge of any of the things that cross your mind, as long as it's not down in here too much, I'll stand some of it, but tramping around down there in the swamp, you know, you don't have anything to tell me I've never thought about. You know, part of your debt now, you know, it's to entertain me. But nobody's figured that out. It's getting closer and closer. That's becoming part of the payment. And plus, it's going to be more your responsibility if I start getting on a plane and I start traveling 2 or 3 days a week, week in and week out, jumping from city to city, flying overnight to see these people, which by and large is going to be a blank. You can fill it in. It's going to require, I deserve more and more entertainment. I have entertained you at great expense that cannot be really paid back over this period of time. And now, it's partly your responsibility to entertain me. And the only real way to do it is seeing people become extraordinary, even if we sit around and apparently talk about relative values of 36 to 48 month value. Batteries compared to their initial cost. At least, well, I'm not having to deal with trash. I'm not having to deal with people that's absolutely beneath any contempt. Well, some of you slip up on the verge sometimes, but part of it is reflected in some of these papers. When you have the slightest urge, it doesn't have to apparently be connected with anything going on, be it you play, be it just anything. Don't hesitate. Just write it down. Let me see it. In the next several weeks, I am going to start a combination night here with you and the new people. We'll probably keep it on Thursday. We will probably, all down the line of what I was about to say, probably we'll be starting the meeting a little bit later. So if I can come in, who gets off in time? If I can come in, we'll still have the music, cross the lobby, and do the numbers. We'll have enough time, and then then we shall meet at some time, such as 8 or 8:30. Just us will meet, and then I'm going to bring in the other people. I'm going to tell you more about it when we start, but I want you to consider that you're going to, if you're continuing to be worthy of me dealing with you in this manner, so people come in and to hear what I'm saying to them in a certain way, and to hear them attempting to hear it, and then you hear something else, simultaneous, and I'm putting it, some of you guys, put it crudely, as I say, it sounds like I'm going back and starting the beginning with them, which you'll find out I'm not. It won't sound like it did the first year or the first 2 years you were around me. Somewhere else. But still, if I was going to describe it that way, like, well, these people just started, and so it would be like me going back to kindergarten. And it won't be. If it is, you don't belong. If it is, you're back beneath contempt. Because now you should be able to go back to kindergarten, although that's not kindergarten you went through. But to go back to kindergarten now, you should go back now and be able to learn atomic physics. If you follow any of that. Plus, you should learn from that which is almost indescribable, but by attempting to hear that if I bring them in, we've had our meeting. And so then we assume that what I'm talking about is aimed directly at the new people. And so we'll sit here and I'll talk a while longer and do whatever we do. This apparently, well, any doubt, the second session when I bring them in is aimed at them, and I'm letting you stay here. And so then his attempt to hear, in some way, well, that he's talking to them, neophytes. As they're he's talking to them in a certain way, an attempt to hear in some way, well, what is he trying to say to them? What is it possible for me being around them now? What could they might hear from this? Better try to put yourself back. If this was me, like 4 or 5 years ago, what would I have heard from this? And then simultaneously trying to hear, I've already told you that there's also something else can be heard from it. It's to do all that as fast as I'm talking, it's to be able to do all that. That's how you get something out of the ordinary. That's why I can, the second session, when I bring them in, that then apparently I'm talking to them, and who stands in a certain way, the potential to hear the most would be you. But you got to do all that at one time. And of course, the good ones among you individually would have done all that without me describing it. And then if later if I describe it, you just felt, well, yeah, that's kind of what I was doing. Never did know it. That doesn't make any difference. I was trying to do it. I don't guess it'll be next week. I'll tell you people before I do it. We'll just have one for a while at least. Just one big meeting and dinner night here. We'll find out if there's some people who want to dance.
That concludes this talk. Be sure to visit us at jancox.com, where you can search through 3,000 talks for topics of interest, or just leave us a message.